What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero, because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show today. It is Monday, January 10th, 2022, getting into the month here, getting into the new year. And as usual, we have a lot of news to cover, a lot of things going on all around the world. And so we're going to do as much news as we can until it's time to open up the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. Mike is in our control room taking care of business, and let's get right on into it. First of all, a little bit of weather type information here. If you are living in the upper Midwest or the Northeast, it is going to get very, very cold. It's a deep freeze. They're warning about dangerous driving conditions. They're warning temperatures could basically hit minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit. That kind of cold can cause frostbite in mere minutes. They're talking up to a foot of snow in the Northeast. I've got family up there, and they're already saying, yeah, it's coming down pretty hard. And they've got tornado warnings for millions in the South. Now, we here in Indiana are very lucky. It's cold. It's about 20 degrees, but it's a beautiful day. And, you know, what can I say? Gosh darn that human-caused global warming. Getting on to our political situation, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi last week invited President Biden to deliver his first State of the Union address on Tuesday, March 1st. Now, that's the latest this event has ever been scheduled. And a lot of people are saying, why the delay? You know, is it going to take him that long to coach Biden on what he is supposed to be saying? And maybe Biden's handlers are terrified at the prospect of a long speech, which will give Joe many opportunities to flub it. He barely got through a four-minute speech on January 6th, and even then had many delivery issues, such as squinting at the teleprompter and mumbling through words a lot of people couldn't understand what he was trying to say here. So we'll keep an eye on that. Meanwhile, interesting little question being asked from Investment Watch blog. Democrats have had control of the White House, the House of Representatives, and the Senate for just about 1 year. And it is time to ask yourself, are you better off? You know, is the COVID-19 under control? Are your streets safer? Is our handling of foreign policy better? Are you in better economic conditions? And I think probably most of those people are going to be answering no on those. So the Democrats are coming up on a make-or-break situation. Charles Schumer wants to pass his voting rights legislation that basically wants to codify the means by which Democrats steal election. He's still trying to get Joe Manchin to support killing the filibuster. And Congress is now getting back into session, and there's going to be a lot of infighting, a lot of vitriol that we can look forward to. Now, there was this recent Washington Post University of Maryland poll found that 34% of Americans think violent action against the government can be justifiable. This is an alarming number, and it's worth remembering that the American Revolution was fought with less than one-third of the popular support of the people living in the colonies, so it's a significant number. And interestingly enough, Ron Paul came on out with an article over at UNS.com saying we need a revolution. Now, it's one thing for callers into the show and email to say it's time to fight and time to have a revolution. But when somebody of Ron Paul's stature is out there with that quote, that has to be paid attention to. And so there's clearly rising support for violence against the federal government. It's rooted in the growing and justifiable belief that people's liberties are being taken by a ruling class that is indifferent at best, hostile at worst to their values and concerns. And it does seem very often like Washington, D.C. is really out of touch with what's going on with the American population. Now, Republican Representative Adam Kinzinger, who's a rhino, basically said if Trump runs for office in 2024, the president will steal the election and end democracy in America. I think the vote riggers are projecting on that. And the congressman from Illinois cautioned that his party's efforts to establish lawmakers in critical states could enable them to possibly certify an election for a candidate who did not win in the polls, something that frankly should have been done in 2020, in my opinion here. But we've lost our honest, fair, verifiable elections, and the most important agenda right now is to get those back. And you know, the Democrats know that we know what they did. Joe Biden's little speech back on the 6th, where they're out there saying it's the big lie that the election was dishonest, and that's becoming a common talking point. Oh, it's just a big lie. It's a big lie that there was cheating here. Meanwhile, in their efforts to exploit the January 6th protest at the Capitol, politicians keep expanding the so-called death toll, and that includes Biden and Pelosi. Now, the only person who was actually murdered on that day was 35-year-old Ashley Babbitt, Air Force veteran and Trump supporter, who was killed by Capitol Police officer Lieutenant Michael Byrd. You know, she wasn't presenting a threat. She didn't have a weapon. And you know, she was climbing through a glass panel door that had been shattered by another protester identified as Zachary Jordan Alam. Now, the three other deaths that day were Trump supporters Kevin Greeson, 55, and Benjamin Phillips, 50, who basically the D.C. medical examiner said they died from heart attacks. Roseanne Boylan, 34, died from a drug overdose. They were not killed in the protest, but that's what Biden and Pelosi are saying. And more egregiously, they have added to the death toll Capitol Police Officer Billy Evans. Well, Billy Evans didn't die in the January 6th protest. He was murdered in a deliberate vehicular attack on April 2nd, 2021, by Noah Green, a self-proclaimed black nationalist and follower of the Nation of Islam. And to further swell that list, Biden and Pelosi are including Capitol Police officers who committed suicide in the months shortly after that protest. Or maybe they were suicided because they'd seen something they weren't supposed to see. Meanwhile, pardon me, Representative Jim Jordan is refusing to cooperate with the January 6th committee and says requests for an interview are far outside the bounds of any legitimate inquiry. Yeah, he described it as a partisan witch hunt. He's certainly correct about that. And yes, we are seeing the January 6th committee digging into issues far outside their official purview of what happened on January 6th. Okay, article coming on out of Blabber Buzz, basically pointing out that all of this Democratic and Biden caterwauling about January 6th is being used to distract America from the real issues troubling our country, such as the economy, the election fraud, the foreign policy, and it's all a circus. It's all a show here. Now, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, who was the focus of this supposed kidnapping plot orchestrated by FBI informants and blamed on a bunch of other people, actually led a horde of protesters into the Michigan State Capitol back in 2012. And she bragged about doing it on a video that has recently resurfaced. So apparently it's okay for Gretchen Whitmer to do it, but not for Donald Trump. Not that Donald Trump did it. All he said at his rally was you should go up to the Capitol, didn't say go inside, and he emphasized peacefully, politely, and just make your voices heard. And on that basis, the January 6th committee is trying to accuse Trump of insurrection and then invoke the 14th Amendment to block him from running in 2024, sort of clear the decks for the return of Hillary Clinton. Now, there was another demonstration, if you will, And there was a rally in Chicago by the Patriot Front, and it was mostly about right to life, anti-abortion. And there was this group of individuals who kind of stood out as obvious plants there. They were matching khaki pants. A lot of them had matching hats. There was evidence of tradecraft. In fact, there's actually a video of them at the whatreallyhappened.com website. And basically, these so-called Patriot Front marchers attended the Chicago Right to Life rally, then marched off all by themselves toward the Field Museum. They then jumped into cars whose license plates had been covered, and they sped away from downtown Chicago. So that seems like kind of an organized event of some kind. Maybe they were planning a false flag, and they decided at the last minute they weren't going to be able to pull it off here. Now, back in the Congress, Kevin McCarthy is planning to strip Ilhan Omar off of the Foreign Affairs Committee and remove Eric Swalwell and Adam Schiff from the Intelligence Committees. So there's a little bit of shuffling going on there as well. Down in Georgia, where there is an investigation starting regarding ballot harvesting, it's already hit a snag. Now, under the law, the election officials are supposed to preserve all of the evidence regarding the election, but some of it has already gone missing, including video surveillance tapes of the ballot drop boxes that would have revealed the large numbers of ballots being dumped in there. So the cover-up is already underway there. Let's see. Meanwhile, over in Washington State, Democratic Governor Inslee wants to make it a crime for politicians to lie about election results. And the irony is he was accused of stealing his last election. And so I think what he wants to do is when the official winner is declared, that's the end of it. If you dare question the official result, you will be in serious trouble. Another sign of the looming dictatorship in this country here. Getting into COVID-19, and there's a lot of thrashing going on there, we are still waiting to hear the United States Supreme Court's decisions on these two Biden vaccine mandates. We know it's going to break down along party lines. And Louisiana has now asked the U.S. Supreme Court to block the Biden COVID vaccine mandate. There's a lot of amicus curiae briefs being filed in this case. Now, the head of the CDC has come on out correcting Justice Sotomayor's claims regarding how many people have COVID, how many children were in the hospital. Sotomayor basically over-exaggerated greatly, and either she was lying or she's demonstrating to us that political appointees and politicians and judges are not, in fact, scientists and not able to do their own research on these very important topics. Either one is a bad, bad sign here. Pardon me. Over in Italy, starting on January 20th, unvaccinated Italians cannot access their bank branch or enter the post office without a vaccine passport. They are pushing so hard to get everybody jabbed. And you just cannot escape the feeling that there is some kind of an agenda beyond simply making billions and billions of dollars for the pharmaceutical industry. Meanwhile, over in Germany, supposedly due to bureaucratic hurdles, they're going to delay their vaccine mandate. And the delay is not a sign that Scholz's government is less determined to see Germans vaccinated, but they say it's just bureaucratic things that they have to deal with here. Up in Ontario, Canada, there has been another study of the data confirming once again the fully vaccinated people are super spreaders of COVID. And we're seeing this all over the world. The more vaccinated a population is, the more COVID they seem to be getting. And it's inescapable at this point here. Now, the CDC is finally acknowledging what we already knew, that vaccines cannot prevent transmission. They can't protect you from COVID. They can't stop the transmission. It's all downside and no upside. And speaking of the downside, over in Europe, in their database, they're now reporting 36,257 deaths and 3,244,052 vaccine injuries, roughly half of them serious. They had that story over there where a double-vaccinated 13-year-old died from a heart attack, something that 13-year-olds generally do not do. Okay. Dr. Pierre Corey is out there saying that there is a huge number of vaccine deaths, and it's getting worse. Remember, last week we reported in the study out of Columbia University saying that there's been over 150,000 vaccination deaths in the United States. It's just being underreported, probably intentionally, and it's spinning out of control. It's spinning out of control. Now, do you remember that big stink in New York where COVID patients were put into nursing homes and the elderly started catching COVID and dying, and it was a big, big stink? Well, now the Connecticut Department of Public Health is requesting nursing homes to take in COVID-positive patients, supposedly to alleviate hospital overcapacity. And we know what's going to happen. They're going to have a lot of elderly people in those nursing homes, get the COVID and die of it because they are much more susceptible than younger people. So it almost looks like they would just want to kill off the old people because, after all, they're just useless eaters. And, you know, it's costing the state money to just keep those people alive. And we don't get anything back for it, as it were. Over in California, less than a month after issuing a strict vaccine mandate for healthcare workers, the California Department of Public Health is now calling on workers with COVID-19 to come to work regardless, to cover staffing shortages. Well, if I were out in California, the first thing I would have done was hire back the unvaccinated who don't have COVID. But California does things their own way. And they're saying that anybody who is asymptomatic can come back to work at the hospitals. Meanwhile, Geraldo Rivera has been a champion on the media for the vaccine program. He has been triple jabbed. He's not only fully vaccinated, he's had the booster, and he has come down with COVID. And he is shocked, just shocked, because we know you can't get COVID when you've had the vaccine. And people are pointing out all those rather nasty tweets that Geraldo was putting out, denigrating people who weren't getting the vaccine. Meanwhile, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, also fully vaccinated, also has COVID. Over at the Today Show, anchor Savannah Guthrie, 50 years old, reveals she has COVID, says it's just a little sniffle, but she is broadcasting from her home. And this is just after co-host Hoda Kotb also tested positive. So again, the COVID shot is not protecting you from the COVID virus. And they're trying to change the definition. You hear all the time where they say, well, immunity means it makes it less serious. No, immunity means makes you immune, means you can't get it. But they're trying to change that definition to cover up the utter failure of this program here. Okay. Now, instead of bringing an end to the pandemic as promised, my goodness, I got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. Made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting.
And welcome back to our show. We're talking about COVID-19, and we're talking about this 99-page study titled Worldwide Bayesian Causal Impact Analysis of Vaccine Administration on Deaths and Cases Associated with COVID-19. And basically, it was a study of 145 countries that showed a sharp increase in the transmission and death after the introduction of the COVID vaccines. That is a serious, serious situation. They found in the U.S. specifically, the jab caused a 38% more COVID cases per million and a 31% increase in deaths per million. And I have family members fully vaccinated, just came down with COVID again. So it really does not work here. We may be looking at a COVID ethnic cleansing, and our government, in its usual approach of divide and conquer to keep us under control, is now pitting the vaccinated against the unvaccinated, and those who refuse the vaccine or question the official COVID-19 narrative are now being described as psychopaths and selfish and other bad things like that. And it's amazing how intense the effort is to get those needles into people's arms. And so we'll see what happens on that one. Meanwhile, the CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, admitted last Friday that over three quarters of the COVID deaths were among people who had at least four comorbidities. They were sick to begin with. So this COVID is not the slate wiper that they've been trying to portray it as in the media. The people who are dying from COVID are people who are already in serious medical trouble here. Now, about a week ago, I think, we started hearing this phrase, mass formation psychosis. It came from Dr. Robert Malone, and it was basically a label given to the fact that you crowds can have madness, you know, the delusions and madness of crowds. And it's rather interesting because the corporate media is now out there trying to say there's no such thing as mass formation psychosis, hysteria over COVID and the vaccines. It's based on real science and real concern. And no, it's not just a mass hysteria that feeds on itself. So, yeah, the elites are getting worked up about that one. Over at Citigroup, they are the first major Wall Street bank that is planning to fire unvaccinated workers. Meanwhile, over in China, the port city of Tianjin is going to test its 14 million residents in the next 48 hours after the discovery of a cluster of COVID cases. And residents are being told to stay home until they're tested, and they must return a negative result to get the health pass needed to use public transport. Now, of the two cases discovered, two are the highly transmissible but mild Omicron variant, which is what is ripping around through here right now. China is trying to pursue a zero COVID policy, which means they want to totally eradicate the disease in the community. That may be rather difficult to do. As we know, COVID is infecting animals like deer, who would form a natural reservoir from which COVID could reemerge in the future. It would become, you know, an ongoing thing like the flu. Over in Chicago, the schools remain shut for a fourth day as the teachers' union demands Mayor Lori Lightfoot agree to new COVID safety protocols. And people are getting upset about this. Over in France, 105,000 protesters took to the streets across the country against a draft law that would essentially ban unvaccinated people from public life. This is Macron saying he was going to piss off the unvaccinated, and this is the first salvo. On the French island of Saint-Pierre-el-Miquelon, they basically marched up to the home of the local administrator, Stephanie Clairvaux, and they threw pieces of algae and dirt at him. So those French take their independence and liberty very seriously. Over in Germany, thousands protest a lockdown. They had a rally that exceeded the expectations. More people showed up than they were expecting on that one. Over in Austria, thousands are marching for a second day against the vaccine mandates and lockdowns. Same thing in Prague. Thousands of people marched to the Czech Republic's capital yesterday to protest against compulsory vaccination for certain groups and professions here. All right. Now, experts are saying they can see an end to this because COVID can't be an emergency forever. And we'll come back after these words from our sponsors and finish the story.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
Born in the city with a silver spoon, great-grandson of the oil tycoon, raised by wolves, thinks he owns the moon, socialist banker to the one-world goons, Davy Rockefeller, chairman of the CFR.
And welcome back to our show. Here we're talking about COVID, and over in Great Britain, Boris Johnson says that he is actually looking to cut isolation to just 5 days, and that the United Kingdom is moving towards living with the virus because it can't be conducted as an emergency forever. And again, with Omicron, it's highly infectious, but it's a very mild illness. And, of course, it will give you immunity across other variants of COVID. And speaking of which, they've already got the next one out there to wag at you and scare you into compliance. They're calling it Deltacron because it's supposedly a combination of the Delta and Omicron variants. And so they're going to do the booga booga thing with you with that one here. Meanwhile, the ex-chief of the United Kingdom's Vaccine Task Force is saying that COVID should be treated like the flu. In other words, you treat the people who are sick and, you know, just scrap this whole population-based inoculation program. I mean, we know how badly the annual flu shot fails. Doesn't stop the flu. Each year's flu vaccine is usually for last year's flu. And so it's time to basically adopt a less draconian approach and say, yeah, treat the people who are sick and leave the people who are not sick alone. Of course, the pharmaceutical companies don't like that idea. Their business model is to sell medicine to perfectly healthy people who do not need it. Now, if you have gotten a common cold, you may be in luck, because T cells from the common cold have been discovered to provide cross protection against the COVID-19. And this is a brand new study that just came out earlier today, as a matter of fact. And T cells have been recognized as being effective against severe COVID-19. Previous research indicated that recovery from common colds may provide some level of shielding against the virus that causes COVID-19. So a little bit of good news there. All right, let's talk about the international news. There's a lot going on. Over in Kazakhstan, their leader says that order is being restored. The coup d'etat, what they're calling it now, has been thwarted. 164 people have been killed. 8,000 people have been arrested. And President Tokayev was at the CSTO summit saying, yes, this was an attempted coup d'etat. Now, Putin is warning that the CSTO will not allow any more color revolutions that we've been seeing in that part of the world here. And if this was indeed a U.S.-backed color revolution, and it's looking more and more like that was the case, it fizzled. They bungled this one badly. I think they wanted to tangle Russia up in Kazakhstan in order to divert resources away from Ukraine. Meanwhile, displaying the arrogance for which the U.S. government has become known, Blinken is warning Kazakhstan against inviting Russian troops into Kazakhstan. Okay, and I guess Blinken's idea is, you know, it's just going to get in the way of our taking your country over, and don't do that. Meanwhile, ignoring Blinken, Russia is readying scores of transport planes. Troops are already pouring into Kazakhstan. So they're going to steady this one down. And if this was a U.S.-backed overthrow, it failed miserably, absolutely failed miserably. Putin also came on out and said there are signs of Maidan approaches, methodologies being used in Kazakhstan, and that the country faced a threat to its very statehood. And Kazakhstan's Minister of Internal Affairs is detailing the high level of organization among the rioters. They had a lot of equipment. They had radios that they were using to coordinate their actions. And so it does look like this was not a spontaneous, organic protest. It was organized here. Eyewitnesses are saying the unrest was being coordinated. People were dressed in camouflage on SUVs, acting as the coordinators there. And one of the protesters who has been arrested basically admitted that unknown people paid him the equivalent of U.S. $200 to take part in the Kazakh protests. So, yeah, this was definitely bought and paid for. And the indications are that this was being organized for as long a period as 6 months. Okay. Meanwhile, the intelligence chief of Kazakhstan has been arrested. The former president of Ukraine is currently on the run. Both turned out to be connected to the Biden family. So the corruption is definitely going global. Now, getting on to the talks between the U.S. and Russia regarding Ukraine, they're really not going anywhere. And the U.S. looks like they want to make sure they don't go anywhere, because just a day before the talks were held, started in Geneva, which was today, Washington threatened curbs on tech and electronics access for Russia, just trying to annoy them and, you know, keep anything from happening. And a lot of people are observing that this chaos in Kazakhstan just was, the timing just ahead of the U.S.-Russia security negotiations is almost too cute and does not appear to be a coincidence. Now, the Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov, who met with U.S. Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman in Geneva, said basically the talk should be about Ukraine not joining NATO. And that is a major issue for them. Russia is very upset that NATO continues to push eastward. Now, the U.S. is already out there denying that NATO ever made such a promise not to expand eastward. But somebody released some documents saying that, yes, in fact, NATO did make that commitment back when the Soviet Union collapsed. So Moscow is refusing to even talk about NATO demands for de-escalation measures on Russia's own territory. You remember a couple of weeks ago, there was this arrogance about, well, you know, you can't move your troops to your side of the border. We won't allow that. And Russia said, it's our country. We'll put our troops anywhere that we want to. Okay. Let's see. Blinken and Stoltenberg unleash an unprecedented diktat and ultimatum at Russia. Basically, Russia has the choice of capitulating to NATO's terms and demands, or NATO is going to go back to being a military alliance and will employ the military expedient against Russia. Basically, what they're saying to Russia is, do what we tell you, or we're going to start a war, and we're going to make sure that everybody thinks it's your fault. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Blinken is out there already tapping down expectations. He says, I don't think we're going to see any breakthroughs in the coming weeks, and saying progress is not likely when Russia has a gun to the head of Ukraine. And the bottom line is the U.S. does not want a breakthrough. The talks, from the point of view of the United States, are mere posturing to try and convince the American people and the world that Russia is somehow the bad guy in this. And to further underscore the fact that they don't want a breakthrough, on Sunday, yesterday, Anthony Blinken said that pulling U.S. troops out of Eastern Europe and committing not to expand NATO to include Ukraine are totally off the table, not even going to talk about that at all. And those are the major issues for Russia. So there is not going to be any meeting of the minds. The attitude toward Russia is do what we tell you or else. Cranking up the propaganda even further, Antony Blinken said that Russia is eyeing the restoration of the Soviet Union, and that's unacceptable and should be addressed. And as usual, no evidence at all to support the assertion. But he's out there saying that Putin wants to revive the Soviet Union with all the evils that that entails. Russia has responded saying that U.S. statements are baby babble. They're absolutely, and they are. They really, really are. Russia warns it will end this week's crisis talks on Ukraine early and leave Europe if the U.S. and NATO do not show some flexibility, which they're not showing any right now. It's still do what we tell you or else here. And underscoring that attitude, NATO announced they are prepared for a new armed conflict in Europe with Russia if the talks fail, which they're being engineered to fail. Oh, okay. Russia has also announced that they may deploy intermediate-range nukes in Europe. So things are going from bad to worse. Meanwhile, the United States is working with NATO alliance members to arrange for the delivery of Stinger man-portable launched anti-aircraft missiles to Ukraine, citing statements by an unnamed U.S. administration official in an interview with NBC News. And work on the delivery of the Stingers is requested by the government of Kiev. Ukrainian officials believe the Stinger surface-to-air missiles would help its military defend the country against low-flying Russian helicopters and drones. Yes, they were very effective in Afghanistan when we smuggled them into the Mujahideen. So, yeah, everybody's arming up. We're going to be in major wars before the end of this year. We really are, because That's what Washington, D.C. does when they screw up the country this bad. Get into a major war in the hope that we'll all forget about just how badly managed this country is. Crash of 1907, World War I. Crash of 1929, World War II. Crash of 2008, and the sabers are rattling as hard as possible. Meanwhile, the U.S. and its allies are maintaining control over much of northeastern Syria, including up to 90% of the country's oil-producing regions, and basically the foundation of its economy. And they are so confident about what's going on, the United States is setting up a refinery, a new refinery in Syria's Hasaka, to basically process the oil coming out of being stolen out of the ground and turn it into saleable product. This is war for profit. This is piracy, is what it is here. Getting on down to Iran, the White House is warning Iran of severe consequences if they try and take revenge on Qasem Soleimani's slaying with attacks on U.S. bases. Iran recently announced sanctions on Trump officials. The White House is saying these sanctions amount to assassination threats. Little bit of a reach there. Okay. Down in Israel, Naftali Bennett is saying that Israel will not be bound by any Iran nuclear deal. They reserve their freedom of action. And what they're basically saying is, we want the deal to fail, but even if you make a deal, we're not part of it. We can still go ahead and start a major war with Iran, which we expect you Americans to fight in and pay for. Over in China, well, actually, this is in Africa. China is getting involved in Africa. They kicked this off with a diplomatic tour with its foreign minister Wang Yi visiting Comoros, Eritrea, and Kenya. While on the trip, Wang announced that China would be creating a special envoy for the Horn of Africa, the region of East Africa comprising Ethiopia, Somalia, Eritrea, Djibouti, which has frequently suffered from destabilizing conflicts, including the current Ethiopian civil war. And Beijing has been gearing up for this diplomatic focus on the region, having in November invited Eritrea to join the Belt and Road Initiative while constructing its first foreign overseas military base in Djibouti. All of these moves drew opposition, of course, from the United States, which is issuing sanctions against Ethiopia and Eritrea over the Tigray War, and recently booted the latter out of a preferential trade program over allegations of human rights abuses. Look who's talking, Gitmo, Gitmo, Gitmo. Little alarming statistic. We have seen in this country the suicide rate growing rather rapidly, alarmingly so. And it's especially true in the military. More U.S. military members have died from suicide last year than from COVID-19 during the entire time of the pandemic. And there were 580 deaths by suicide among U.S. service members in 2020, a 16% increase over 2019. And more U.S. service, they don't actually have the number. 163 service members took their own lives from July to September 2021, of which 70 were active service members. So it's a rough life being in the military, apparently, here. Now, the good news for the American people is that Americans are not as afraid of COVID as the White House and the corporate media and the pharmaceutical companies would like us to be. Polls are showing that the majority of Americans' top concern is the economy and the inflation that's going on, and they will be keeping that in mind as we go into the midterm elections this year. Meanwhile, Kristi Noem is saying the Biden administration is attacking American enterprises and business with their higher food prices, and that this is a national security issue. Meanwhile, Biden is going to distribute an additional $4.5 billion to help low-income families cover heating costs after he basically blew up U.S. energy prices. Again, is this a well-managed country or not? And I don't think it is here. Now, last week, there were some really abysmal new job creation numbers that came on out, and the White House is desperately trying to spin this as wonderful news here. Biden was celebrating one of the worst economic reports in history, and there was a graphic the White House posted online that claimed President Biden had created far more jobs than any other commander in chief. And it got the laughter and ridicule it deserved. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about the economic news. Now, over in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, this is a former steel town. They did a lot of steel fabricate, smelting, pouring, melting, machining, whatever. they're now actively seeking Afghan workers to replace Americans. And that is one of the aspects why corporations love the open borders idea, because those people coming on in will work for less than the Americans, the American citizens will. And so they're trying to create a surplus of labor to drive down wages and salaries. And it must be working, because just down the street from the U.S. Capitol building, right in front of Union Station, there is a tent city of homeless people that has popped up. And I'm glad it's right there, because everybody going in and out of Union Station is going to be forced to confront the fact that we do have a severe homeless crisis brought about by bad monetary and fiscal policies. So anyway, FedEx is warning of major shipment delays due to staffing shortages and weather events. And that will certainly get worse as the winter wears on here. Over in Turkey, they are getting desperate for any kind of money. The inflation is out of control there. The government of Turkey has now seized 25% of all foreign reserves of every company within that nation. Just went on out with their little black mask and their black bag and just said, give it to us here. This is a little alarming here. International finance leaders held a war game exercise simulating a global financial collapse. There were basically 10 nations involved. Israel, the U.S., Austria, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, Switzerland, Thailand, and the United Arab Emirates. So it must be on their mind if they're wargaming it here. Okay, in North Dakota, there was an interesting lawsuit. There was this company, an oil company, Energy Transfer, and they wanted to keep documents about its security contractor's operation secret against an anti-pipeline activist group, because apparently that security organization was doing underhand things like infiltration and sabotage. The judge ruled against them and said, yes, the anti-pipeline group can have access to those records and find out just what was being done. Getting on to immigration news here, getting to the top of the hour. Over in New York City, Mayor Eric Adams has signed off on legislation to allow more than 800,000 non-citizens to be able to vote in municipal elections. This is the proverbial camel's nose under the edge of the tent. And frankly, if non-citizens can vote, what is the point of citizenship? We have to take a break for station identification. We're going to open the phone lines, 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine
could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.